Today we're starting Siman Kuf Chaf Halach Yud Aleph. Let's first read the Mechaber. Yisrael, sure. Be patient. Yisrael Shemacha Kli Lev Kechavim. Yid sold a Kli to a Goy. V'chazev Lachar Mimenu. And then he bought it back from him. Tzarech Tefillah. So he needs to title it. Avol Mishkana. I'm reading the Mechaber so far. Avol Mishkana B'yaday. V'chazev Petar Mimenu. If he gave him a Mashkin. And then he took it back from him. Ein tzarech tefila, then he doesn't need the tefila. That is to say, is the yid owned the kli, the first part of it. Then the yid owned the kli, he was tefila like he was supposed to. And then he gave it to a guy, and now he got it back from him. So this kli already had tefila's kelim. So we say is that no, it's having tefila's kelim again because he got it from a guy. If he got the kli, it was owned by a guy. The fact that it once had tefillah in its history doesn't make a difference. It was bought from the goy, as mechuyev to do tefillah's kelim. We spoke about this 2 times ago. We spoke about it's not such a common occurrence what's describing over here. You know, we don't buy things like that. We don't sell pots to our neighbors. we spoke about it a few times ago about the Jewish companies that own, that produce urns and pump pots. They produce them themselves, so it's owned by Yid from the beginning. We talked about the problem of what would happen, what happens when they then sell it to a store. They sell it to Bed Bath & Beyond, and Bed Bath & Beyond sells it to you. So there, the Yid owned the Kli. So there was Potter from Tefillah's Kelim for a different reason. The Yid owned the Kli. He sold it to someone who was not Jewish, and now I bought it from him. That's an example of this thing that's Chayav in Tefillah's Kelim. You may remember, we said that there's a pot, Ramosh has a chiddush that maybe it's not Chayav in Tefillah's Kelim because it was once owned by Yid, and maybe the Mechaber is only talking about where it was originally, the very first owner was not Jewish. Most people don't know like that. We spoke about that then. Okay. An example that we might come across of this kind of a thing, it's more the end of the Mechaber, would be, again, if not so common, but if someone would give their things to a pawn shop, so that person is doing what the Mechaber says. He was Mishkinoi Biyad the guy, and then he was poided from afterwards. So then what the Mechaber says is it doesn't need tefillah. It depends on on the setup between him and the pawn shop. If he does or doesn't own it, who owns it, and things like that. But that's the closest most people would ever come to that kind of a din. I will note that there's a question in Halacha Tez. You may remember it said Mishkan Harvik Yochavim Klili Yisrael. Then you are chayav in tefillah's kelim. Okay, so they talk about that. There's a difference between whether the goy gave a mashkin to the yid or the yid gave a mashkin to the goy, right. And it has to do with that the rules for tefillah's kelim are not exactly who owns it. It has to do with nishtakeh b'yad Yisrael. We'll see it more in the Ramah. It has to be like them with the claim midyan. It has to be who has the where is it sitting by? Not technically always by who owns it. Okay, so the closest example that most people ever have to this question, for real, this question about to title it again after you gave it to a guy, is that's why it's on the screen. It's about mechiras chametz. Okay, and that is a number that Achronim speak out. Lots of them are in Arachayim, but it's brought here like in Pesukei Teshuvah and Daki Teshuvah about it. Is that when a person makes mechiras chametz, if they the din is, well, let me make a drop introduction. The din is, you're mechuyev to get rid of your chametz. You're not allowed to own any chametz in Pesach, because it says Bal Yirah. But the fact that the Torah says that says don't own it by the word Bal Yirah, don't see it, teaches you that the issur is to not own visible chametz. But if chametz is not visible, then there's no issur to own it. That's why the Torah says it in this unusual way. It didn't say don't own chametz, it don't see it. There's nothing really wrong with seeing chametz. I could walk past a bakery and see chametz, but I can't own chametz that's visible. And therefore, chametz that's balua and kelim is not usher at all. And of course, metal is not chametz. My metal pot that I have at home, I have no reason to get rid of it. There's no reason to sell it, to get rid of that pot, because the pot is not chametz, and the bleas in the pot are not bal yirah. So there's really no reason min hadin to do it. The Mechaber says it it says it beferish in maybe more places, but I know it says it in Tachlin Aleph. It says, it's actually Machlokes Nigmar, the Mechaber passes like that on Yom, and he says, if a person has kelim of chametz over Pesach, then this is what you should do with them, so you shouldn't by mistake come to use them. Okay, but you're allowed to keep those kelim. You're allowed to keep the kelim over Pesach. There's nothing wrong with owning them. And so therefore, a number of the Achronim say, well, not only do you not have to get rid of your kelim, but you don't want to sell your kelim. The Gemara talks that you should destroy the kelim. But then we don't pass it. You're not going to destroy them. So none of the Achrim says, but so, some people said, we'll sell them. Together we'll sell with the rest of our chametz, we'll sell the kalim that have chametz also. And they said, you got a problem. Because if you sell those kalim, then when you buy them back, if the Pesach, then you're going to feel kalim. It's a Yisrael, Shemachah, Kilav, Kichavim, because Lachim, and that's exactly what you did. You sold it to him on Erev Pesach, you bought it back to him on Tzoy Pesach, so now you're going to feel kalim. And a number of the Achrim say, therefore, you should, but Dafka, not do this. You should not do that. Okay? At the same time, in some of the shtaras from Mechiras Chametz, this is from the Sefer Mechiras Chametz Kuchas, I believe it's called. It has in the back 11 shtar Mechiras Chametzes. It has these ones are. I forgot. There's one that doesn't have its name on it. Is I'll look at my notes here. And it says the other one is from Shulchan Aruch. Those are Shtar Mechiras Chametz, and each one of them, they mention that they're selling the kalim also. Okay, it speaks out that they're selling the kalim. Now I can't tell you 100% that that proves that they did that, and that is because their Mechiras Chametz was different than ours is. Our Mechiras Chametz is, in the modern Mechiras Chametz, we say we're selling all the chametz that I have. Okay? It's very generic. So if I would say I'm selling all the chametz that I have and all the kalim that it's in, and all my chametz pots, then that would be a potential issue. In the way they used to do Mechiras Chametz was, they sold specific things. Okay, they said, these things that are in that room are the things that I'm selling. So it could be that the kalim that they're selling over here were kalim that didn't need Tfilas kalim. Okay, it could be that the things that they were selling, they were selling a specific thing. The kalim reikonam asher behem ha'arik and a shecher. Okay, it could be that those kalim were wood. It could be those kalim were things that didn't need Tfilas kalim. So it could be that what you're seeing here, that the people sold the kli, they had the chametz. I'm sorry, the words are not so big. The fact that this person is selling the kli, they had the chametz, it doesn't mean that they were selling something and then buying it back.
Our form has a similar formulation.
That says what?
The Hebrew form. The Hebrew form is a little different than the English form. We have changing it for future use. But the Hebrew form actually says that we're selling all kalim, she'enim chayim b'tfila.
She'enim chayim b'tfila. Okay. So it says, so
I sell the kalim.
So, that you're late. Right. Okay, so I can't tell you that. Right, so he's selling the kalim to have chametz back. But he's talking about a specific person. He's saying this guy's
selling the
kalim. No. But he's selling the kalim of that person in this room. So the kalim in this person in that room may have been kalim that didn't make his chametz. Like, for example, if it's general, then it's general. The ones that are more specific, I'm telling you, Rukhneva has a star for a guy selling his factory, I didn't put it here, for Shabbos and for Pesach. Okay? So in that, he's like very specific on what he's selling. He has all kinds of gory details of what they're selling and what they're not selling. So maybe they have to be. I mean, if you look in this one from he says, this one I'm selling you without the kalim, this one I'm selling you with the kalim, I think it's the one, right? He says, this one I'm selling this one with the kalim, this one without the kalim, as if maybe he cared about the kalim. Okay, but there are some achorim who, yashid the minig, there are people who sold it anyhow, and they give two different as far as why. It could be that you could sell the kalim and not be mechuyim to tefilas kalim when you get to that. Okay? The first is, I told you that ownership per se is not always what decides whether it's chayav tefilas kalim. We're going to see it more in the Ramah. We're going to talk about nishtakeh b'yadav kechavim. Okay? It has to be that it's like really permanently part of the guy's ownership. And since everybody knows that the mechira we're doing is only going to be for a week, the stuff sits in my house anyhow, and everybody knows that in a week it's going to come back to me. So that it might be that technically he owns it. By the contract, it says I'm selling you my thing, but is that maybe that's not enough to be nishtakeh b'yadi ha'akla, maybe. And others say, I believe the second thing I'm about to say is from Shlomo Kluger, he says is that everybody knows that Mechiras Chametz is harama. The Mechiras Chametz as harama only works, it can only work together with the fact, this is its own separate child, but it only works because I have such an interest in selling my chametz that I go along with it. I'm trying to avoid the isser, or because I want to sell my chametz, or because it's not going to be b'shusi anyhow, so it works anyhow. All those kind of svaras of why it works, even though it's a harama, only makes sense on the chametz itself. The things that you're not going to sell, it doesn't work on it. So for the things that you're not mechuyav to sell, it's just a mechir l'zman. Okay, you're just doing a temporary sale. It's understood. All that's supposed to be understood, even though it says, I'm telling you, the chametz and the barrel, it's understood that this, the chametz is a real sale and the barrel is a mechir l'zman. Mechir l'zman wouldn't be making mechuyav to sell again. Okay. Okay, well, I'm stopping. Okay, next. Why is it klei schayra?
He's buying it
all
back.
Right. When a person buys a kli, that doesn't make it.
Not, I'll have to make it tonight if he's going to sell it back to you. There has to be an absolute sale. So, you know, that's not
That doesn't part to you from Tiel's Gale. Yeah, the fact that I sold him as klei schayra doesn't part. No. Let's say it is klei schayra. So, klei schayra means is that he, if it has klei schayra, he doesn't have to tell you. But when I buy klei schayra from him and I mean to use it as kalim, it's chayav in Tiel's Gale.
If it's klei schayra by the goy, you only have a klei schayra by the goy, so it's not.
That's great. Even so, you're not going to. That's great. You have to use count. Of course, it's not true. Now, not only is it not true logically, like he said, because then everybody would be put from Fields Gale.
Yeah.
But because everybody buy clay, he's buying from a guy who's selling the scarf. But it's an earlier din also. Okay, it's in the second halacha ches before us. Okay. Now let's read the Rambam. Okay. Now let's read the Rambam. The Rambam says, Yisrael vav yichav mishakan kli b'shutfis. If a Jew and a non-Jew bought a kli as shutfim, ain't tzarich tefila. It doesn't need to have tefila. Let me finish the Ramah and I'll tell you what I have to say about that. Yisrael shagan v'agazim yimenu kelim. If a yid had his kelim stolen from him, and then they gave them back. So the Mechaber had said that if you sell your kli to a guy and then you buy it back to him, you're mechayv in tefilas kelim. But if it was stolen from you, you're not. Ain't tzarich tefila. And the reason is because, usually, even though the guy owns it, the guy stole it from you and it's his. But the guy is a regular guy and is afraid to parade it out in public, and therefore it doesn't qualify for being nishtakeh v'yavir kacham. It's even though it's technically might be his, but it's not his in the full sense of the word. What? So it potentially it's his. Okay, you're right. I should take that back. Even though it's technically, it potentially is his, wouldn't make a difference. You're still not having Tefilas Kelim because it's his in a certain sense, but not his in the full sense. Not in the sense of a Tefilas Kelim. Aval Sarah Moshe, Sha'ansi Yisrael V'locho Kelim V'hoch Zeruloi. But if the government or somebody who has power took it from you, they stole it from you, and they gave it back, then Tzvichim Tzvila, because the Kleiner Shtak would be out of the Kuchalim, because when that person takes it, then he has no qualms about showing it in public and doing what he wants with it, and therefore, it's not only does he own it, but it's completely Nishtak Yeh, be out of the Kuchalim. Okay, so the Ramah said, the first part of the Ramah, which is hopefully when he gave it to us, and the latter part, says that if the Yid and the Goy are Shutfim in the Kli, then you don't have to do Tzvila. Mirchishim next time, we're going to talk about why that's true. Okay, right now we just take it as it is. We'll talk about why it's true, which will have its very practical nafkaminyat. Aside from the case of shutfis per se, it'll have you'll hear the practical application of it. And we're also going to find out that not everybody agrees with the drama. Okay, the din is like drama, but we're going to talk about others who one of the poskim who disagrees with drama. Okay, now before I tell you two little points about this. There's a kasha. And the kasha is, here the Ramah says, again, aside from one person who disagrees, the Ramah says that if it's a shutfis, you can use it without tefilas kelim. And the question is that there's this really long taz beforehand, on the halacha beforehand, where the taz says that if a yid and a goy pool their resources, that I give him a little metal and you give him a little metal, and then between us we make a kli. So the Taz has this chiddush to say that the status of whether that kli needs tefillah or doesn't need tefillah depends on who was the roiv. If it's 60% of the yid's materials, it's potter from tefillah's kelim. If it's 60% the goy's materials, it's chayav in tefillah's kelim. Okay, it depends on roiv. Okay, now we're not talking about the chiddush of what the Taz says, just the what happened. I mean, if you go on the next page, I mean, the Taz even goes on to the next page, at least in our print, goes on to the next page. So the Ramah says over here that if there's a shutfis, then you're not chayav in tefillah's kelim. So what's the difference between the Taz's case? The Taz says the Yid and the Goy each gave materials, so depending on who gave more, depends on whether it's Chayim Tefillah or not Chayim Tefillah's Kelim. And honestly, if it says right here, the Ramah says that if there's a Shutfis, then you're not Chayim Tefillah's Kelim. I don't have a great answer. It seems to me that the answer probably
remains a shutzpah even after it's finished.
It remains a shutzpah. Yeah. Yeah. So it seems to me, unless I'm reading it wrong, it seems to me that the difference was that somehow over there, we have to judge the kli, and we're judging it by who made this kli. Was it made by the yid or was it made by the guy? So there, we could look at it somehow when we're making the kli, we say, is it a yid's kli or a guy's kli? And the roiv material, you know, is mavato, the meat's material. Somehow different than over here, where two guys buy for shutfis, then of course they both own it. And somehow that's different. I don't really know the difference. Okay. Okay, now a few little points about this din of shutfis, before we move on to one more thing. And that is, you may remember a couple times ago, I mentioned to you, Rishlam Miller had a chiddush. He said he wasn't convinced of it, but he said he considered such a chiddush, that if there's a nursing home that's owned by the Jewish community, that maybe that nursing home isn't chayim tefilas kehilah. He wanted to say maybe it could be mikvah for the glass, for the things that don't chayim tefilas. And his logic was, or part of his logic was, that the government pays a lot of attention to how you treat elderly people and other people in need. And the government, therefore, when they, if they don't like the way you're taking care of the people, if they look you over and don't like taking, they'll kick you out. They have the right to take control over a nursing home and run it the way they want if they feel you're not taking care of the people properly. And therefore, he says, maybe they're considered that they have a somewhat of a shutfis in that the nursing home, because they have a controlling right up there. Okay? He said he wasn't convinced. He said, maybe for drop on them, so like the glass was really hard to tell. Anyway, okay, I mentioned that. We talked about that. Okay. Just remind you. Wait, you. Okay. Now, so the first thing to say about the Ramah is, when we say that the Yid and the Goy are Shutvim, you could use it without Tefilas Kehilim, the first thing is that even the tiniest amount of Shutvim, okay, it doesn't depend on how much the Yid and the Goy own. As long as the Goy has some kind of a Shutvim, that's good enough. And this idea became very important a couple of months ago. There was a hotel in a different city, and not under our Hashgacha, and they were hosting a Federation dinner. And I may have mentioned this dinner before, and the dinner had 1,800 people coming to it, or 1,700 people coming to it, and like 2 days beforehand, it was obviously a huge event, and 2 days beforehand, the Hashgacher says, wait a second, they're doing it in this hotel, and the hotel's owned by a Jewish person. So if the hotel's owned by a Jewish person, we're using the hotel's glasses at the event. So do we have to tovel, all of a sudden run out and tovel thousands or hundreds of glasses now, because in 2 days it's going to be this event. We're using those glasses, so Kashrus why they weren't worried about it. It was going to be used for coal. But the question was, to the Mechuyim Tefilas Kehilim, it's owned by a Jewish person. So they quickly made a meeting with the owner of the hotel to talk to him, and he was told how, yes, of course he's Jewish, and he's proudly owns his hotel, and he's happy to be hosting this event, and blah, 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 blah. And in the conversation, they were able to get through him that, yes, in fact, he does have a minority non-Jewish partner, which, of course, they made them very happy. I don't think they told them anything why. They were asking, you know, about the Tefilas Kehilim or that. You know, they totally would have thrown him for a loop. But he did saved them. Okay. And people use this idea that a person could have even a minority ownership could save them from, allow them to use the kli without Tefilas Kehilim. People use it when they get stuck. Okay. They have a kli. We're going to see in Halacha Tezayin. When people get stuck and they can't tovel a kli, there's a possibility of giving a guy a chelik in that kli, and then you'll be able to use it without tefilas kehilim. Okay, we're Mirtzah Shem going to talk about that. We've said this a bunch of times. We get to Halacha Tezayin. That's where the place is for that din. That's such a thing that people will do to avoid tefilas kehilim. That brings me to my next point, which is that the kula of a shutfus of a guy only helps and only works as long as there still is a shutfus of a guy. But if you give the guy a chelik, or he owns a chelik, and then you buy him out, or you sell it to somebody else, a Jewish person buys the whole thing from them, then it's chayim tefilas kehilim. Okay, so that is to say, if a person says, I'm going to avoid tefilas kehilim by giving a chelik of my kli to someone who's not Jewish, and they give, they say to the person working next to them, listen, can I do you a favor? Can you do me a favor? I want to give you part of this ownership. And they give him a part ownership. But then the guy gives it back to him and says, okay, thank you for giving it to me. I did now your shutif, and now you can have it. I'm giving it back to you. So if he says, you could use my chelik, that's okay. But if he gives it back to him, now you just bought it from the guy, and now it's chayim tefilas kehilim. Okay, so to say that a person has a shutfis only helps as long as he has a shutfis. Okay, once he passes having a shutfis and it goes back to being completely owned by a yid, then it doesn't help. Okay. So now, we're going to move on to something else, which is really, it's an introduction to what we're going to talk about next time. It's not interesting, it's like a side point to what we talk about next time. But being as I knew we were going to be short, that's why I wanted to talk about that. And that is, we're going to talk about next time. It's going to come up as a part of next time is that you know we've talked about that the chiyuv tefilas kelim is assumed to be a chiyuv deraisa. Okay? It's almost a referish of Gemara that the chiyuv to do tefilas kelim is a chiyuv deraisa. And on glass, it's only a chiyuv drapar. Okay, we'll work with that assumption that it's a chiyuv deraisa. Basically, we'll work that assumption. But what about if a person wants to use the kli without having done tefilas kelim? Okay. He didn't do Tefilas Kelim, but he wants to use it anyhow. So there's a question whether that the issue to use it now when he didn't do Tefilas Kelim, is that an Issa Deraisa or is that Issa Drabana? Okay? That is to say, if we were to assume that the Issa, the mitzvah of Tefilas Kelim is completely a Drabana, then there wouldn't be what to talk about it. If the whole mitzvah to do is a Drabana, then obviously the Issa to use it would be a Drabana also. Okay? So there are those, let's talk about that for 1 second. There are those who want to read into the Rambam, that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Tefilas Kelim, the entire mitzvah is in mitzvah drabanan, which is, of course is very shver, it's command of a Farish Gemara, that says not like that. So one of the Achronim who speaks, if I could use the word, a primary source about this question, about whether the issue to use it as a deraisa or drabanan, is Yishus Yaakov. And he says, because I can name Yashu the Rambam. The reason why the Rambam implies in certain ways that it's a drabbanon, in other places he sounds like it's a deraisa. The reason why sometimes he sounds like it's only a mitzvah drabbanon is because if you read the words carefully, you'll see that it's a deraisa to do tefillah. It's a drabbanon to not use the kli without tefillah. So the words of the Rambam that says it's also drabbanon, like I should have put the words up for you, those words are going on the issa to use it. But the mitzvah to do it, that's the deraisa part of it. And that's how he explains the different words in Rambam. Well, it's not such a great reading of Rambam. That's how he wants to say it. Okay.
Yeah, every time he uses not a bit of a say.
That's what he wants to say. That's only issa drabbanan to do it. Right.
It's not a bit of a say.
That's what he wants to say. Right. He says it's completely
for the person who wants it or for somebody else?
Anybody. Anyone who uses it, it's only issa drabbanan to use it. Okay. So now, there's some people, There are very few, if I can use the word, real riyas to this day. And I'm going to mention one to you soon. I'll mention one riyah to you in a second. But there are riyas what people hold about it. There aren't many riyas to why it should be, or riyas as in like a Gemara that's much like that. I'll tell you one in a second. There's going to be a Beis Meir we'll talk about next time that implies that it's a deraisa. There's a Deek in the Shulchan Aruch Harav that sounds like it's a deraisa also. Again, not. It's, I don't want to use the word raya. I mean, it's a deed that he holds like that. But it's just like in passing that he says like that. That he gives the impression that he thinks it is derisive. It has to do with a lot of what we're going to talk about. Has to do with the din in Hilchos Shabbos, which is you now have a toivel kelim on Shabbos, and a lot of the discussion there is whether it is or is not tikkun money to do it. And the way the Shulchan Aruch Rav brings it, what he talks about implies that he thinks that the issue to use it without it is a derisive. Okay, so one, I'm going to show you the writers that to me were interesting. I'm going to tell you. Okay, there's a Prima Gadol. And Prima Gadol says like this, it's in Hilchos Pesach. Okay, and he says like this, I understand Shin Chof Gimel. Okay, Shin Chof Gimel is where it talks about this issue of doing Tefillas Kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay, it says like this, B'Leil Pesach, a person realizes that he needs to drink the Dalet Kaisis, and he doesn't have any. Okay, he doesn't have a kais. The only kais that he has is one that didn't have tefillas kelim to it yet. Okay, so ignore this part. Yesh lamer, he could title it in dirty words. Don't worry about that for now. Okay, but that's our situation. Is the person has a cup, and the cup, the only cup that he has with dalet kaises is one that didn't have tefillas kelim to it. So he's stuck with Yom Tov, and he wants to use them. He wants to use the kli. So what should he do? So he says like this: Efsher, if he, what he should do is he could use it. Why? Because to us, he asay drabanan, the mitzvah drabanan to drink from dalet kaises could be doicha the iser drabanan on to use glass without tefillah. Okay, because since glass is only chayv and tefillah with drabanan, and so using it is only iser drabanan to use that glass. So therefore, the drabanan of dalet kaises is asay doicha lois asay the lois asay to not use. Glass. He says, but if it would be a metal cup, then it's matzis, which is it's a mitzvah deraisa to do tefillas kelim. Then, as you see in your day, there's a question about that vav is, but okay, in your day it says that it's a mitzvah deraisa. So then, by matzis, you wouldn't be able to say, I say derech lois to say. Now, he doesn't mean the mitzvah to do to do tefillas kelim, because the mitzvah to do tefillas kelim. Here the question is not to do tefillas kelim. Here the question is the asay of drinking from dal koisos should be asay doch loisa say of the drinking from the cup without tefila to it. Okay, so that implies that he holds that drinking from the cup without tefillas kelim by metal is a device also. Okay, that's a deek here in the prim gadim. Then for you those who are curious, here's a little more. He says maybe it's not the idna. Maybe you can't say asay doch loisa say it's not the idna because when you tevel it. It's not the time when you're drinking from it. Okay, they don't have that at the same time. So that's what he talks about. Maybe it doesn't count as say the chalas. Okay, so that's one of the people. There's a deek in this prim gadim that he holds that the use of the kli when it's not toivol, if it's metal, of course, is maybe a derisa. Okay, I didn't find the lamb. It's in the mishpat itself. There's only one of them in top table, so you'll be able to find it if you look for it. Okay, Now the next is a raya. I've seen it before, and Rappaport reminded me of it. I've seen this right before, and that's like this. The Gemara says, there's only one Gemara about Tefillas Kelim. It's one Amr of Gemara here, on the end of Avodah Zarah, Habalim to many people at the table. The Gemara is talking about whether you have Tefillas Kelim, and how do we know, and this and that. And the Gemara asks a kasha, and says like this. E kasher Rahman one way, if it would have said only a certain pasuk, Hava Amina, that in order to do tefillas kelim, it needs harav shemesh kenita. That when you tevel kli, the tefillah is not completed until you have harav shemesh. You have to tevel just like it says after may nida yisata. So a nida is tevel at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Her tefillah is not complete until harav shemesh. So too the tefillah of a kli wouldn't be complete until you had harav shemesh. Okay, so. This is the only thing that's sort of like a Raya in the Gemara. Well, what does that mean? The tefillah is not complete until Harav Shemesh. Well, Indian, what? Why would we care that tefillah doesn't end until Harav Shemesh? What else could it mean if not for that it means that am I allowed to use the kli? What else could the Torah have meant when it would say the tefillah is not over until Harav Shemesh? What are you going to do? For the need, that means that if she would touch Truma now, it will become Tummy. That's why we care whether the Tumma finishes now or at Harav Shemesh. But why would we care whether the tefillah of a kli would end at Harav Shemesh? What would it mean? You would title it, and it doesn't complete to Harav Shemesh. I mean, in other words, in the Olam, it's not finishing till Harav Shemesh. I mean, who cares? Well, why is that my problem? Why would the Torah tell me that? Why would there be a significance? Unless the Torah means to tell me that you're not allowed to use it till the tefillah is complete. And therefore, if you tell it at 4 o'clock, don't use it until 8 o'clock when there'll be Harav Shemesh. That's the implication of the Gemara. That's at least the Havmi of the Gemara. You're not allowed to use it until Harav Shemesh. This is a riot. I saw from some Achronim, Chedushim Biurim, I saw from a few different people, from later Achronim, who bring such a riot. Rabbi Rappaport has a whole lot to say about maybe that's only the half meter Gemara, maybe not the Maskonis of Gemara. Okay, and the Gemara is just saying it's a half meter. If it only would have said this pasuk, I would have thought that. Maybe yes, and maybe not. Okay, but it's the closest we come to a riot is in a Gemara that says like that. Okay, when I show you this Prim Gadol doesn't tell you how he knows it or why he knows it. It's just a deed that he seems to have thought like that. The issue is, Yaakov says, he says, it's posh that it's a drop on, and I have nothing to say. And he brings riots also. Some of his riots are also in the Gemara. But without strong, okay.
He says,
I have many more riots. So, Diane Weiss, when he talks about it, I was going to mention it in a second. Diane Weiss, when he says, I'm not so convinced about his riots. He says, but Yaakov says, I have many more riots, so we'll believe him. Okay, we'll believe him and we'll just accept that when he said that, it probably is true. You know? He says, I don't know all those riots. The riots they told me weren't so high. I wasn't so convinced about them. You know, he has another riot, the Yeshua Yaakov, I wasn't going to mention it, but a riot from here in the Gemara also that you thought there's a habit you have to be told on the third and the seventh day. Okay.
Is this a real issur, or is it just even mocking? Maybe there's no issur, really. It's just being mocking last night.
Okay, so, but before I was about to say that, very good, yes, very good. You must have looked at my notes. Okay, I'm about to say, which is, so far I told you there are some people who say that it's an issur deraisa to use a kli without tefillah. Okay, Rishon Zalman has a compromise. Okay, I'm going to tell you in a second that people think it's a drop on it. Rishon Zalman has a compromise to say it's sort of a deraisa. Okay, and that is, I only know about this thing that he has is in the Sefer Tefillas Kelim. He has a whole introduction. He has 10 introductions to the Sefer, and in one of them talks about whether he has a part there whether it's Issur Deraisa on it. And in there he brings that Rosh Hashanah wrote him the following. Okay, I'm going to show you what Rosh Hashanah wrote him. Okay, this is what Rosh Hashanah wrote to that person. Okay, he says, imamrinan, the itzer shtamshesh medarbanan, even if it's only asim darbanan to use the kli without tefillah, he said that only is true if you have no way to be tefillah why you're dealing with it. But in yochel lahatfil, if you have a way to be tefillah and you use it without tefillah, then that's a bitul asay. So it's not an isser per se. It's an isser. It's a bitul of the asay. If I don't go ahead and do the tefillah right now, I could be tefillahing it, and I'm not being tefillah. So that's a bitul asay. Okay, I don't, the words are not going to come. But he's going to say, because otherwise you'd never be oivering the asay. He says, what would be the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to do it. You'd never be oivering it. He says, it must be that there's an isser. Is a bitul asay when it's within possibility. So the isser deraisa would be understood like as a lois asay. Don't eat out of the clay.
Where does it come from?
Yeah. I don't know where it would come from. What?
Would be a
lach about mechala. No. There's a difference. No, because if it's a lav, it would mean that you mechui at all times. You're never allowed to use it. So I can't tell you what. So you can't tell it. So you can't do it anyhow. If you.
Where's the possibility?
I have no idea what it would be. I told you, I have something to explain to you where that would come from. He said, so this is like an in-between. You can tell me if that's what they mean. Maybe the people who say to the rest, that's all that they meant. But he says, meaning, if he wants to say is, if you don't have a choice to title it, and right now you don't have a choice, and he has lots of chedushim, and we'll talk about next time, or maybe in two times, about his chedushim that he has about that. He says, even if you want to say that's a drabanan, that's only when you have a choice. Now, he doesn't mean, he says, avam yochel lahatfil, and you use it, he doesn't mean is that you're eating lunch in the mikvah. Okay? He doesn't mean is that you're literally sitting there. He means that it's within reason that a person can be tefillah. Okay? But it makes you, so it just, it's a little bit, it makes it hard to understand some of the points that we saw, which is the discussion about whether you could, what you should do on Shabbos, all of a sudden becomes a very different discussion. Okay? Because this place can talk about, are you allowed to tell you on Shabbos? You're not allowed to tell you on Shabbos. And then we're going to talk in Halacha Tezayin. What should you do when you couldn't, you have it on Shabbos and you can't tell you? Okay, well, what's the question? If you have a kli on Shabbos and you can't tell it, then you can't tell it. So maybe that discussion, maybe that whole shayla is a shayla of a drabban. Okay, that could be that's what it means. Okay. And it could be also that this will be miyashiv, if that'll make you, if maybe that's the pshat in the Harav Shemesh, and the Gemara says you have to make the Harav Shemesh, would mean is that it's a bit to say if you use the kli without that. Maybe it didn't mean it's like an isser, maybe it's the same thing, maybe those who said the rice and Rosh Hashanah are really saying the same thing. Okay, either way. Okay. Now, the people who say that it's a drabbanan, okay, I told you, Shush Yaakov is the big proponent, and others make it like it's posh like that. Okay, the Bir Alocha, when he talks about it in Hilchos Shabbos, the Bir Alocha says he doesn't even bring anybody in. He just says, of course, it's posh that's only drabbanan, and therefore blah 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 blah. Whatever he has to say about that, if he just use it without tefillah, of course it's a drabbanan. Shush Yaakov, when he says it, he says he doesn't use these words. The way I understand it is, let's say there's a din that a person is mechuyev to do kisi hadam. You shech the behemah, you have to kisi hadam. Or you live in Eretz Yisrael and you have a behemah, so you have to give ma'aser behemah. Okay. So what happens if you don't do that? Okay? What happens if a person doesn't do kisi hadam? Have nothing to do with the meat. The meat is not, doesn't have to wait for kisi hadam to be kosher. If I don't take ma'aser behemah, it doesn't make my animal shave. It doesn't make it usher. So they're looking at it the same way that there's the mitzvah tefillah kelim. And I have a mitzvah tefillah kelim. Okay, so you have something you're supposed to do. You're supposed to shake wool also. If you don't shake wool, it doesn't mean something else is wrong. It doesn't mean your sukkah is possible. And Shush Yaakov says, he says, I have a raya that my din is true. He says, we'll see in Shulchan Aruch that if a person didn't tell you that kelim, the food stays kosher. He says, so the tumah that Yerushalmi talks about, that's on a kli, that tumah doesn't mean that it affects the food. Doesn't make my food trafe. Doesn't do anything to my food. Nothing. I have a mitzvah to do this thing, so I have a mitzvah to do it. It's sort of like, there's a din d'rabbanan that until I do a mitzvah, I'm not allowed to eat. Because if I don't eat, I might forget to do the mitzvah. If I eat, I'll forget to do the mitzvah. So too, the rabbanan said, don't use the kli to your tevel, because or else you're going to forget to tevel it. But it's not that there's anything, it's not that the Torah said you're not allowed to use it. It's like, don't do this until you, don't use it until you do the Tzivos Kelim.
Okay, which you mean if it's a din d'oraisa, it doesn't matter if being to a bun of d'oraisa.
No, because if it's a d'oraisa, we don't think of a d'oraisa as like an incentive. It's not like us, like, I'm trying to keep you...
Even if it's a deraisa, the food would still be kosher, so you can...
That, the Shushakim said, he said...
But the example you gave from Kiso Yadam, that's a deraisa, you see, even going to Kiso Yadam, so the food is still kosher.
But the Shushakim doesn't, he doesn't look like it. He says, he's the fact that the din is that the food is kosher, you can, of course, you can argue, you can say it could be a din deraisa and the food could be kosher, but he said, he says, I told you, the mix, he says, I'm not convinced of all of his rights.
Yeah.
He said he had a lot more rights, you know, so I believe in you. Okay. It's interesting in Vichas Chala.
The Rambam was the Torah for Maisa Behema.
Yeah.
I mean, the Raisa, you could never give Maisa Behema, you're not Mavul the Mitzvah.
You're not Mavul the Mitzvah.
The Raisa.
Well, so I was thinking about that. See, but what happens if he eats them? Wait, what happens if he eats them? What happens if he eats all the Behemas? Does he not Mavul the Mitzvah at that point?
No.
Why? He didn't do the Mitzvah.
Unless you eat the whole Eder in one row.
What does it mean? If he eats in three shots, what's the difference? But if he eats them all up, then all...
If you take away one behemah, you haven't been mevatel the mitzvah ma'aseh yet.
Yeah. If you have 10 behemahs,
you have 10. And
even if you have 10, because you could be mutar for another behemah from somewhere else.
Okay. There are kashas on many of his rayas, but he makes the assumption, as is to be halacha, as is do many others, that the issur here is only issur d'rabbanan. That's going to be, I'm mentioning it today, even though you don't hear yet the difference, but because for next time's discussion, that's going to be an assumption. We're going to work with the assumption for next time, that the issur, to use the kli without tefillah, is the only issur d'rabbanan, and we'll see how that plays out.